All right, why don't we go to Peter for his comments, you mean right now, and then we'll go to the FTLAC committee testimony.
Thanks, Tom. I just wanted to repeat some thank yous since all the folks are now at least virtually here. So I want to thank the counties for re-engaging on this topic over the past month through the Council of Forest Trust Land Committee meetings. It's much appreciated. My sincere gratitude to stakeholders who have committed significant time and energy to engage and review a large body of work, and extending my appreciation to our state and federal partners, agencies, for dedicating resources to collaboratively develop the draft HCP. I also acknowledge Steve Ndringa, who is here representing the Confederated Tribes of the Coos, Lower Umpqua, and Siuslaw. We recognize Oregon's Indian tribes as the original stewards of this land. And so, Steve, we're really honored to have you join us here today. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Peter. And if Commissioner Yamamoto is here, we will go straight to the county testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that very much. I would, with your permission, I would ask Coos County Commissioner John Sweet to start us off.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
I am you. All right. Chair Imason, members of the Board of Forestry, State Forester Doherty, thank you for allowing us to present at this meeting. I'm John Sweet, County Commissioner from Coos County and Vice Chair of the County Forest Trust Land Committee. I am here today to comment on the HCP being proposed as a management tool for the 600,000 acres of Western Oregon Forest Trust lands. I admire the board's and the department's tenacity in working toward a management plan for these lands. I've been attending meetings on this matter for the entirety of the 8 years I have served as a county commissioner. Some, I believe, have been involved longer than that. I'm not suggesting that you rubber stamp the currently proposed HCP just in order to be done with the process. In fact, I oppose the proposed HCP for reasons I'll soon discuss. I would like to go a step further and suggest that diverse special interests and politics make it practically impossible to manage publicly owned forests for anything but habitat for a few listed animals and a little recreation. I submit our national forests, our ONC railroad lands, our Coos Bay Wagon Road lands, and our Elliott State Forest as evidence. Again, I appreciate your perseverance in pursuing a management plan. My first reason for opposing the HCP is that it dedicates 55% of the land base as off limit to any harvest. This is a higher percentage than given over to no harvest in any other HCP I know of in the state. Such a harvest limitation was certainly not on the minds of the counties when ownership of these lands was passed to the state, along with the implied trust agreement that they be managed for the benefit of the counties, primarily through sustainable harvest. Other benefits were secondary. The county's expectation at the time, and as recently reinforced in court, was that the lands would be harvested on a sustained yield basis to provide revenue for counties, schools, and other local taxing districts, as well as to provide family wage rural jobs. Yet the proposed HCP reverses these priorities, giving the secondary benefits precedence over the primary. This is simply not right. Secondly, the HCP itself does not give any assurance of what actual harvest levels will be. It sets a ceiling, but until a forest management plan designed to be implemented under the HCP is approved, no reliable estimate of harvest and revenue projections can be made. And this disregards the implementation plan that must also be completed before harvest takes place. How can the counties be expected to weigh in on the HCP when so many unknowns remain? Thirdly, adding to the uncertainty just discussed, will the Oregon Department of Forestry actually be able to harvest volumes as projected under the HCP and the accompanying forest management plan and implementation plans? There are harvest plans all over the place, some state, some U.S. Forest Service, and some BLM, whose harvest projections have not been met. How can we have confidence that the harvest level under the new plans, whatever they turn out to be, will be met? I could go on and on, but I'll stop at my next and fourth objection. If the current level of harvest produces insufficient revenues to fund the Oregon Department of Forestry, which I remind you was the concern that triggered these discussions almost a decade ago, what happens when forest levels subside as programmed in the HCP? Specifically, what happens to the Oregon Department of Forestry? Who will manage for state forests? Who will fight our forest fires? Who will enforce the Oregon Forest Practices Act? Again, how can we respond to the proposed HCP until we have answers to these questions? And I'd like to leave the board with one final question. Conventional thinking is that the counties and local governments are the primary beneficiaries of the forest trust lands. This is not the case. The state of Oregon is by far the largest beneficiary. Right off the top, some 36%, let's call it a third, of trust land revenues go to the Oregon Department of Forestry. Of the remaining two-thirds, about a half of that, or a third of the whole, is passed to local K through 12 schools. This serves to offset school equalization payments for which the state is otherwise responsible. Adding the school equalization benefits to the trust land revenues that grow directly to the Oregon Department of Forestry brings the state's share to a full two-thirds. Given the state's current and likely future financial condition, why then, in the name of heaven, are we considering decreasing trust lands harvest levels when they could and should instead be increased? I suggest that the environmental of such an increase would be incremental, and the environmental impact of such an increase would be incremental and hardly detectable. The benefit to rural life, families and children, and to state revenues would be huge. I thank you for your time to make this presentation and pass this back to David.
Thank you for that, John. Chair Imeson, State Forest Authority, members of the Board of Forestry. For the record, I am Tillamook County Commissioner David Yamamoto, Chair of the Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee. We have traveled a long and tortuous route to get to this point, where the department is ready to submit to the Board of Forestry a draft habitat conservation plan, which we received a short 2 weeks ago. This draft HCP, encompassing 384 pages, covers all three modeling exercises performed by the department. While it seems each subsequent model run improves harvest and financial outcomes to a small extent, none rises to the level of creating a scenario that meets the demands of greatest permanent value. Remember, the Oregon Department of Forestry manages 729,859 acres of Board of Forestry lands, for which the Forest Trust Land counties have a protected and recognizable interest. This interest has been determined by three circuit court decisions: Marion County Circuit Court, which is known as Tillamook 1, Tillamook County Circuit Court, known as Tillamook 2, and Linn County Circuit Court, the Linn County class action. It is clear that these lands are to be sustainably managed to provide timber revenue to the state, local schools and communities, and local taxing districts. I feel some explanation is in order as to why FTLAC has been on hiatus for the past several months. As we all know, a pandemic hit on a worldwide basis this past year, and Oregon was greatly impacted starting in March. While county commissioners have received much guidance from both federal and state governments. It is truly the county commissioners on the ground across this great country that have been responsible for the implementation of this guidance. I was always busy as a commissioner, but once the pandemic hit, my job duties expanded exponentially. Schools went on a distance learning scenario, and after speaking with all three school district superintendents in Tillamook County, I found that over 40% of our students could not participate in distance learning due to a lack of adequate internet access. Again, another shortfall affecting many rural communities. As the county commissioner representative on the Oregon Broadband Advisory Council, I have cobbled together almost $1 million and am working as I speak to you today to get as many of our children as possible hooked up to broadband internet as quickly as possible. Tillamook County has seen a record number of visitors to our beaches this last summer. Our sheriff's office has minimal staff to handle simply the 26,000 residents of Tillamook County. Yet this past summer, at times, brought well over 100,000 visitors daily to our beaches, overtaxing our sheriff's office, ambulance, fire and emergency services, search and rescue, and with few restaurants open, our grocery store shelves were emptied for our local residents. These are but a few of the many issues we have faced in Tillamook County and across the state of Oregon as the department continued work full speed ahead on the HCP. Current modeling of HCP harvest numbers and revenue projections are not acceptable to the trust counties, nor are they sufficient to financially support the department. They are far lower than the HCP business case analysis brought to this board and FTLAC in October of 2018. The HCP business case analysis was provided to gain approval to continue development of the HCP from the Board of Forestry and FTLAC, which the department received. We now find ourselves in this impossible position of considering an HCP with harvest and financial outcomes not acceptable to the trust counties and should not be acceptable to the Board of Forestry or department, given the lack of financial sufficiency to support the department's operations in the future. This HCP, which is the second attempt by the department, the first being rejected, it too, because it was financially insufficient, places too much emphasis on habitat and not enough on harvest and revenue to the counties and the department. Over 50% of state forest lands would not be eligible for harvest under this HCP. This HCP does not reflect any concern or understanding of counties' financial condition or needs, nor the department's. This HCP does not show what the forests are capable of producing. Therefore, it is making decisions with no context of what is being given away. Most important, this HCP does not even attempt to address the concept of greatest permanent value, which was clearly supported in the recent Linn County class action lawsuit decision. Dedicating half of the state forest trust lands to habitat reserves has been considered and rejected at least twice before. In 2004, environmentalists put Measure 34 on the ballot. It would have dedicated 50% of forest to wildlife reserves. Voters in this state rejected that measure 79% to 21%. Why is this a good idea now? In 2006, ODF's H&H modeling evaluated an alternative that would have dedicated 50% of state forest lands to wildlife reserves. The 2006 Board of Forestry did not adopt that plan then. Why attempt to do this now? Again, this HCP dedicates more than 50% of the land base to habitat. This allocation of land will be permanent and fixed for at least the 70-year term of the HCP. This produces stability and certainty for wildlife habitat interests. On the other hand, timber harvest and all of the economic and social benefits that it brings to our communities is treated as simply a residual output. It is what you are left with after dedicating over 50% of the land base to habitat. This residual nature is demonstrated in the fact that the HCP shows declining harvest levels over time. It is demonstrated by the fact that management outside the 50% dedicated to habitat is further constrained by habitat objectives, such as 40% of the land base outside the habitat conservation areas must be 60 years and older, as well as other policies at ODF's discretion, such as inner gorge protections, terrestrial anchor sites, and other policy decisions. When all is said and done, only 45% of the land base is available for sustainable timber harvest. And again, this is harvest that fits in after everything else is taken care of. Neither the 384-page HCP nor the 173-page comparative analysis say anything at all about the employment, wages, and income from managing the state forest trust lands. Nor do they even attempt to list the social benefits provided by timber revenue that flows through the counties and special districts. It is notable, however, that the department does describe in detail the benefits of recreational use and cultural uses, but nothing about the use of the forest for jobs. Rural counties are dependent on natural resource economies, and it seems that no thought in the development of this HCP is afforded to family wage, fully benefited jobs. Schools and the necessary increase in funding by the legislature to the common school fund for every dollar taken away from school districts that receive timber revenue. 911 service districts, sheriff's patrols, fire and rescue, healthcare systems, and many other social and economic disasters that await us when timber revenue craters. The department's own 2019-2020 budget request states, and I quote, "The division's management practices provide sustainable economic, social, and environmental benefits to Oregonians. Timber sales are expected to generate $126 million for counties in which state forests are managed by the division, $6.7 million for the Common School Fund, and $72 million for the department's management of Board of Forestry lands. State Forest Department's State Forest timber harvest support approximately 798 direct jobs and 2,686 total jobs. Timber revenues distributed to the counties support local K-12 education, health and human services, public safety, and other essential community functions. Active forest management provides revenue for counties, social services, and education. It builds communities by supporting family wage jobs and contributing to local, regional, and state economies," end quote. And again, this comes from the department's own 2019-2020 budget request to the legislature. How can the Board of Forestry possibly evaluate whether the HCP represents greatest permanent value without any data about the economic impacts of the proposed plan? The department has yet to demonstrate to our satisfaction that this is the very best deal it can get from the federal agencies. Under this HCP, only 45% of state forest trust lands is available for long-term sustainable forest management with multiple rotations. This is less than the Washington DNR, and it is far less than what private landowners have been able to negotiate. Why does it appear that the department is giving up far more than is required? Another huge issue is the true viability of the numbers in the present HCP. It appears that these numbers are the best that can be derived from the current iteration of the HCP. The department must provide more certainty about harvest levels. We are reminded by the department that the harvest levels in the comparative analysis are projections made for relative comparison. They are unwilling to make a strong commitment to these harvest projections. Yet the HCP makes a concrete allocation of land for habitat preservation. And the department should be willing to make a commitment to the actual harvest level. Without a reasonable expectation of the certainty of harvest outcome, how can we make a fair greatest permanent value determination? This HCP must allow the department to be financially viable without diminishing the county share, which at one point was actually shown on a chart developed by the department. It does not, however, provide a certain future for the Oregon Department of Forestry. Projected annual net operating losses are in the range of $20 million annually. The economic extinction of the department after instituting a faulty HCP is unacceptable to us and needs to be fixed before the Board of Forestry can approve an HCP. This HCP projects huge swings in harvest levels by county from one five-year period to the next. Clearly, this does not provide certainty and predictability for the social programs funded by the counties and special districts. The only certainty is to wildlife habitat. How can we place our constituents in second or third position behind wildlife habitat? As I mentioned earlier, 2 years ago, when the HCP business case analysis was brought to the Board of Forestry and FTLAC, I asked ODF at that point several times to be placed on the HCP steering committee and or the HCP technical committee. And each time I was told no, without a reason provided. If the Board of Forestry was to move forward with an HCP, the forest products industry, environmental groups, and recreation interests will all want a seat at the table. Yet they are all stakeholders in this process. I am asking the Board of Forestry to allow me a seat at the table on the HCP steering committee and or HCP technical committee, not as a stakeholder, but as your partner, one with a protected and recognizable interest. It is imperative that the trust counties are represented at the table when ODF and Paul Henson of U.S. Fish and Wildlife negotiate harvest levels moving forward. This current iteration of the HCP overweights conservation versus social benefits to rural communities. And I dare say that if I had been allowed on the HCP steering committee, by the department 2 years ago, as requested, I feel the outcome of the HCP would be different today. If the Board of Forestry were to move forward with the HCP, I ask the board to make a firm commitment to the trust counties to set the current harvest levels and financial outcomes of this HCP as a base minimum. An HCP must provide financial certainty to the department and a fair return on the investment made by the trust counties many decades ago. It is clear that this current iteration of the HCP has many more problems than solutions. And the solutions developed place the people in Oregon in second or third position behind wildlife habitat. I will close with one additional yet primary consideration. It seems the department is asking the trust counties to lend support to an HCP that violates the state's contractual obligations to the trust counties and greatest permanent value. It is abundantly clear that the current iteration of the HCP does not meet these contractual obligations. I want to thank the board very much for this time to address you today, and I would be happy to answer any questions that anyone might have. Gee, is there anybody there? Do I need to do this again?
No, you don't need to do it again. I'm sorry if maybe I was muted. I thank you, both of you, for appearing. And I was asking Jason if we had any additional county commissioners who have signed up to comment.
We do. We have one commissioner, and then we also have Aaron Doyle here, who's providing verbal testimony on behalf, rather by proxy, for the Washington County Board of Commissioners. And we have Commissioner Kathleen Sullivan from Clatsop County after Ms. Doyle.
Okay.
Tom, did you want to check if the board had any?
Well, I was looking to see. I didn't see any hands raised for questions. But if there are questions, absolutely.
Jim Kelly has a question.
Sorry, I didn't see that.
Commissioner Yamamoto, I just wanted to say, in a conversation that I had with Seth Barnes, he said to me that this is a habitat conservation plan. This is all about habitat. He got that, and I think we do need to be mindful of the fact that what we are dealing with here is the Endangered Species Act, and trying to get a plan to be able to deal with that in the best fashion that we possibly can. And so I'm saying that just because the fact that the plan does not talk about timber jobs, rural communities, or the industry or any of that, I don't think reflects a lack of caring on the part of the department or the board about those issues. This is what we're dealing with. It's the Habitat Conservation Plan. And I just want to assure you that I think we all care very much about all of the issues that you bring up. I don't expect us to see eye to eye, but we are not blind to the very important issues that you do bring up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly, for those comments. I do appreciate it very much. Very interesting. My most recent conversation with Paul Henson of U.S. Fish and Wildlife. I did mention the fact that I was going to testify today and asked to be put on the HCP steering committee. Honestly, I feel that this is kind of a foregone conclusion, which I am unhappy about, but there is still work to be done, and there is still work within the HCP. Numbers can be adjusted as we move forward. And he, for one, mentioned to me that my views on especially the economic and social benefits of timber revenue and our state forests would have been welcomed on the steering committee. And again, I feel that I think we could have moved the conversation in perhaps a slightly different direction had those interests been vocalized in the steering committee. And if you talk with Mr. Henson, I think he would tell you that my position on the steering committee would be helpful to that group. But Mr. Kelly, again, I appreciate your comments.
All right, thanks, commissioners. Jason, we're ready to move ahead. I don't see any other hands up here.
Board Chair, again, we have Aaron Doyle, who's speaking by proxy for the Washington County Board of Commissioners, followed by Commissioner Sullivan from Clatsop County. So, Ms. Doyle, I would go ahead and get started.
Thank you very much. Chair, members of the Board of Forestry, thank you for your time this afternoon. I am Aaron Doyle. I'm a Government Relations Manager for Washington County. I do appreciate the staff accommodating me to serve as a proxy for my Board of Commissioners, who all unanimously wanted to be here to provide testimony on behalf of Washington County, but are unfortunately all hosting a panel at a convention virtually, so they are at a convention right now. You have received our written testimony from the Board of Commissioners. It was emailed in last week, and I won't repeat what's in there, but I would like to point out some things that our board did state were important in their decision to support the recommendation of staff to continue forward with the Habitat Conservation Plan and enter into the NEPA process. First, they believe that this process has a very good potential value of creating stability within the forestry. The habitat preservation, but also the forestry and timber industry within Washington County. They recognize that this is not the final decision. And that is also incredibly important, that they reserve the right to continue to monitor the outcomes that are predicted within the Habitat Conservation Plan and throughout this process with the federal services to determine whether or not they can continue to support an HCP process as you work towards finalization. But they do want to be part of the process because they continue to understand that a sound forest management practice means multiple uses out of the forest. It is not just an important revenue source, but it is an important revenue source, but both for the county and for our rural special districts and education districts, for jobs and that come out of the resource economy. But it's also very important to some of the work that the county does as sitting in its capacity as the Clean Water Services Board as well, through the water quality and conservation efforts that are made there. Finally, the growing opportunities in recreation and creating connected trails provides another income base that the forest can provide if there is a known outcome for the forest over the long period. Those efforts are continuing to be supported and more investigated by the Washington County Board, and therefore they continue to look forward to participating in this process and hope that counties can be a trusted ally as we move forward through the rest of this process in a more public and robust fashion. I'm happy to answer any questions, and I do appreciate your time and the board's constant consideration of our opinions on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you. And I don't see any hands up for questions, so I'll make sure that any questions? Okay. And please extend your thanks to the commissioners for appearing. Okay.
Chair Emerson, we have one more commissioner, Commissioner Sullivan from Clatsop County.
Great. Thank you.
Hello, can you hear me today?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, I'm just going to speak briefly. My name is Kathleen Sullivan. I'm the current chair of the Clatsop County Board of Commissioners, and I have served as the FTLAC representative for my entire term. I wanted to thank State Forester Doherty, Chair Imason, and the members of the Board of Forestry for letting me speak today, and also for your public service. I know these are difficult times, and I really appreciate all that you're doing on behalf of the citizens of Oregon. I have already submitted a letter, and I won't repeat that, but it is signed by three of the commissioners, Commissioner Webb, Commissioner Nebaker, and myself, and we support the habitat, the process to develop the habitat going forward. As we have said all of this time, we believe the greatest permanent value includes multiple use of the forest. And we also respect the professionalism and science-based method that the board of, that the Department of Forestry, along with the federal and state and local agencies and tribal agencies, have put forth in this effort. And so I just appreciate you're considering that. And I also wanted to say that I feel like I have had an opportunity to know what's going on in this. I've attended the meetings. I've read the material. I've followed this. And I think that the organ that they have been transparent with this. It's an ongoing thing. And so we can't know everything at once, but I feel comfortable with what we have been told, and I feel comfortable in my support of this. So again, I just want to thank all the parties involved in this, and so thank you for letting me speak. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you also, Commissioner.